The Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is our sermon text from Mark chapter 1. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. This is the word of our Lord. In the name of Jesus, the light of the world, and your brothers and sisters, I have a bold prediction for tonight's sporting contest. Wait for it. Ready for it. Here it is. There will be a winner. Okay, that's not that bold, I know, but there will be a winner. I absolutely guarantee you that there will not be a tie in the Super Bowl. I absolutely guarantee you that later tonight or tomorrow morning, you can read in black and white in your newspaper or in many colors on your phone or computer screen who the winner is. I absolutely guarantee that the headline will not read "Super Bowl indecisive, but good game played by both sides." No. There will be a definitive winner. You can read it in black and white. In fact, you will know exactly how much they won by. There will be a definitive score. It won't just be kind of a judge's call or a committee's decision. There will be a definitive winner, a definitive score, no ties. You will know who won. Even if, okay, to be honest, I don't know exactly who's going to win the game. And I think that's one of the things that appeals to people about sports. There's a definitive winner. You can see it in black and white. You know by how much they won by. I think that appeals to people sometimes because that seems so much different than the rest of life. What do I mean? There are some sections of life where you're not always exactly certain who won, who wins. When I talk to some of you fine men and women who serve our country, it's interesting to hear you talk about how warfare has changed. Sometimes you're not even sure who the enemy is, and it's hard to gauge who's winning or who's not at times. And that's true in every endeavor of life. Is your business really succeeding or isn't it? What do you need to do? But that's even more true at times, I think, for our spiritual life. Today, the entire theme of this service, right there on the front of the bulletin, Jesus appears and gives you victory. You win. That's the whole theme. But does it always seem that way? Does it always feel that way? Do you ever have a hard time believing that? We just sang how he sends the powers of evil reeling in our hymn. But at times it doesn't seem like the powers of evil are reeling so much, are they? It seems like the powers of evil are reveling in all of their evil with less shame day by day. Does he really give us victory? And he says that the gates of hell cannot defeat his church. Oh, but the church kind of seems like the butt of jokes at times to the world around us. And maybe you've been the butt of those jokes by people who don't understand what you're doing here this morning. On a gray winter morning when we could have precipitation in only a little bit, why aren't you sitting at home reading the Washington Post and eating bagels? I don't know. You Christian people are weird. It doesn't always seem like the church is victorious. And God says, you're all saints, that you're all victors in him. But from where I'm standing, I can't always see that either. I'm not going to insult any of you personally. I just mean I can't always see what God is doing in your hearts and minds. As I preach sermons here like this, or as I talk to you, I don't have x-ray vision to see a little faithometer inside your heart going, oh, look at that, more peace over there, more joy. I don't see it. And then how about our own walk of faith? We are saints triumphant, we are victors. Oh yeah, but does it ever feel like we're kind of flopping and dragging and rolling and crawling from one day to the next? We just seem to get our grip, our victory over one vice and then another one pops up, or one sin and then another one comes, or there was that one sin that we thought we had finally gotten a hold of, but then it comes back again and again. And we feel like we're fighting the same battles and the same temptations. And sometimes we think, boy, we've been in church for a long time. We've been hearing God's word for a long time. Shouldn't we be further along in our walk of faith? Why are we still wrestling with sin like we do? And then it gets the better of us and we feel shameful and dirty and awful and we don't really feel all that victorious. If I'm really a victor, if I really have a victory in Christ, why do I still worry as much as I do and feel as guilty as I do and wonder as I do and wrestle with this sin and that? Well, here's some good news to begin with. If you feel that way, you're not alone. And if you look for victory in all the outward signs of this world and how you're feeling and how you're doing, you're not going to find it, but you can find victory in a real place. You can find victory in black and white. That is certain. That is absolute. And I'd like to share with you that news headline right now of the victory that is yours. The author of this article about your victory is the Holy Spirit. The proclaimer is Jesus. It's recorded in the message of Mark chapter 1. Let me read the first few verses again. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." 2,000 years ago, the people that Jesus was walking among were not certain of their victory. And they didn't have any help from the clergy of their day or the religious teachers of their day. The message that was being preached and proclaimed was not clear. If you went to the synagogue or the temple on Sabbath, you'd hear messages that would probably have you scratching your head and leave you confused. Basically, the gist of it was, if you want victory over sin, if you want to be good with God, then you be good yourself and you do more. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law thought the way to victory is by crossing off enough to-dos on a list, by following enough rules the right way. But of course, you can never be certain of your place with God, your worth, or your victory by doing things. You can't, because you don't do them enough or well enough. You leave some of them undone and others you don't do. So instead, they would kind of come up with, well, to-dos that they thought were more accessible. You know, those to-dos like never lust, never hate, love your neighbor as yourself, those are tough ones to really know how you're doing on. So they would come up with an outward set of rules that they could check off more. Hey, God said we shouldn't work on the Sabbath. Let's really define that. Okay, you can walk 1 mile, but not 1.1 miles. You could maybe pick your lamb out of a ditch, but you couldn't pick your neighbor out of a ditch because that'd be too much work. Your neighbor's too heavy. And they come up with all these rules. Hey, God said we should tithe. We should give some of our income to him, 10%. Okay, so if you're eating a bagel Every 10th sesame seed on the bagel should be God's. You should remove that. And every 10th chicken wing you have during the Super Bowl, you set aside to... And they come up with these lists of all kinds of minutiae in life. And then they become obsessed with doctrinal detail that had nothing to really do with God. Their imaginations would run wild. They'd say, well, I know this is what it says in the Bible, but you know, we heard a story once about Abraham's cousin's uncle's best friend. Let me tell you that one. It's really good. Or they'd be reading a passage of the Bible, and then they'd try to interpret it, and they'd write footnotes. And they'd write things like this. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yochab agree on this interpretation of Moses, but Rabbi Yitzhak disagrees, as does Zokel the elder. In order to get a synthesis and reconcile these opposing viewpoints, we must go to the later works of Rabbi Yachtov. He shows an elegant discussion of the topic, and it would go on and on and on. Oh. Or at times they'd say, you know what, yeah, okay, enough of trying to figure out what Moses was trying to say. We need to get some action right now. If we can get a political alliance together, if we can use our power as ministers and clergy to do political things, then at least we can make some social change in the world around us. Maybe if we put our eggs in the right basket, we can get elected our own personal political messiah who's going to kick the Romans out and give us better things here on life and at least we can enjoy some stuff that we see here now. In the end, it was all gobbledygook. In the end, the people listening to their messages had no idea if they were winners or losers, felt more like losers than winners. Because they just heard a constant stream of laws and human opinion and conjecture. And then someone showed up who preached differently. And it wasn't his style or his charisma. It was his message. Jesus came and taught as one who had authority. What did that mean? It didn't mean that he shouted. It didn't mean that he grabbed a bullhorn. It meant that he preached God's word, which was something they weren't used to hearing, unfortunately and ironically, even at church. So what Jesus did was he came, and with certainty he cut his hearers to the heart. I know that doesn't sound good at first, but it had to be done. He showed the Pharisees and he showed that crowd that you could never get into heaven by doing a list of to-dos and checking off a list of rules. No matter how many bagel seeds you dedicate to God or how many miles you don't walk on the Sabbath, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and humans don't do that and haven't done it since birth. And Jesus would cut right to the heart and show them that they had no chance of being saved, no hope of victory on their own, that they deserved to be in hell forever. And oftentimes those who heard his words would cry out and scream out and say, well, Lord, then how can we be saved? And he'd say, I'm glad you asked that question. Now I will give you an answer. And I won't quote dead rabbis. And I won't point you to yourself. I'll turn you from yourself to me. I am the answer. I am the Lamb of God who's come to take away your sins. I am the one who will live perfectly for you. Oh, I will do God's 10 to-dos, the 10 commandments. I will do them perfectly for you. I will die for all of those commandments that you've broken, and you've broken them all. And I will rise. So that now you can have victory, not in yourself, but from me. I will give you the victory that I win. I will wash away your sins. Though they are scarlet, you will be as white as snow. I will give you all of this because I love you. And then the people heard for the first time in their life something that we call the gospel. It means good news. It means God loves you. And that had authority. That wasn't man-made rules and 3 and 5 steps to get a better life. That was the message that said our relationship was destroyed with God forever, but then was healed forever by Jesus. That right now, God loves us. Right now, we are one with Him. And He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. And then it was all wrapped up in a word so powerful that when the demon heard it, he screamed. And could not defeat it. That's how powerful that word is. And Jesus' strategy today, 2,000 years later, is the same to help us who wonder and doubt if we can really have victory. He doesn't point you to yourself. He doesn't try to be Moses part two or a life coach and say, here are some nice rules and commandments. Work on these. Come back to me and we'll see how you're doing. He doesn't say, well, why don't you just compare yourself with others? No, he says, despair of yourself. Repent before me, but then come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you victory. I will give you rest. Oh, but Lord, I don't always feel it. Yeah, he knows that. Your emotions lie to you. Oh, but Lord, I don't always see it. I know, you can't see very far. God sees much more than you do. Oh, but Lord, sometimes I even doubt it. He says, I know. So now keep going day by day to the one place where you can see it in black and white, the Word of God. That same powerful Word that was proclaimed in Capernaum is proclaimed to you here in Woodbridge. It's the same Word that you have in your homes. It's the same Word that will be proclaimed in the Sunday school rooms today. It's the same Word that makes demons shriek and joy and peace grow in your heart. And day by day through that Word, Jesus will tell you the truth. Right now, you are a victor. Right now, there's nothing left for you to do. Let that one sink in just one more time, busy Northern Virginia people. Right now, there is nothing left for you to do. It's all done. It is finished in Christ. And right now, in black and white, the words of God are before you, but your name is written in heaven. And one day he will give you something far greater than any Super Bowl trophy. He will put on your head the crown of life, because he wore on his head the crown of thorns. And one day you will see victory fully with your own eyes, and you will see him. So go back to the black and white, clear Word of God when you doubt. Let that Word sink in. Let Jesus throw his arms around you and tell you one more day, one more minute, one more moment, do not be afraid. I heal you. I love you. You win. Amen. May the peace and love of our God, which drives out all doubt, guard our hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen.